Well, hello, how you doing, everybody? It's 8:11 here on a midweek Wednesday morning. J.R. Simmer, Bund is in for Hammer this week. Pierre Maguire standing by, live from Edmonton. Some highlights from around the NHL play-in and play-in games yesterday. Comments from Claude Julien ahead of Game 3 tonight between the Habs and the Pens, series tied at 1.
Yeah, and the beautiful part of what's happening here, the torch has been passed from Price from Kotkaniemi to Jonathan Drouin. So as we go into the offseason, it is Mr. Drouin. And my tweet of the day had to be Chris Nyland talking about Drouin stop playing with the social distancing rules. Like, that's just solid. That's really solid. Come from a former player.
Absolutely. All right, without further ado, let us go to Edmonton, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. We say good morning, good early morning to Pierre Maguire this morning. How you doing, Pierre?
Very well, JR. Good morning to you. Hello, Sean.
Morning, Pierre.
Pierre, you had the late game last night between Minnesota and Vancouver. The Canucks bounced back with a 4-3 win. Minnesota with a couple of late goals. All I read about the game, and I only watched the first period, was that Vancouver was much better than they were in game one. What was your assessment on the Canucks' victory?
Oh, 100%. The young guys really needed to show up. Brock Besser was a lot better. He got his first NHL playoff goal. Elias Pettersson was a ton better, just dominated the puck when he had chances to do that. And I think that when you look at Bo Horvat and the way he played, he was very, very good. So their younger, better players were very, very good. It's kind of like out of that page that Claude Julien was talking about. You know, it's not about X's and O's. It's about how hard you want to compete. And those three young players in particular really wanted to compete hard last night. And they did a good job, and the rest of the team followed. So you know that Vancouver was much better last night.
Pierre, if you're a Canucks fan, do you just look at game one? Hey, young team, a lot of guys never have any experience. Hey, got that game, and real excited after watching game two and the improvement.
I would say that's part of it. I would say another part of it is Minnesota did not play as smart or as determined as they did in game number one. But I would say that Vancouver really made that a difference. They did compete harder. They did compete more wisely. So we'll see how it goes in game three on Thursday. But I would just say that, Vancouver won game two, and they won game two very, very comfortably.
And the Canucks did it without Tyler Toffoli, who has, it appears, some sort of foot injury, apparently spotted in the bubble in a walking cast. We have no word on whether it's a short-term or a long-term thing. But if he is out for any of the rest of the series, what kind of impact overall does that have potentially on the Canucks lineup?
Pretty significant, actually, because they also have some other issues, too. Last night they had players that got hurt during the game, hit with pucks in the head, not able to play. Michael Ferland was on the roster ready to play and then couldn't play. So that's a problem. Dominic Roussel got hit right in the head with a puck last night. It was a dangerous day for pucks to the face or the head yesterday in the rink here in Edmonton. So, you had some injury situations that happened last night. So there's going to be some, differences in the Vancouver lineup. Now, mostly at the depth positions, not at the higher skilled positions, but nonetheless, they're going to have some differences. Jake Virtanen went into the game last night. I thought Jake played very, very well for Vancouver. So that's going to help them overcome some of this. But they had some other issues last night to injury, and we'll see how that plays out for Thursday.
I guess this is so uncharted territory, Pierre, but every year is a test of depth, but even more so this year when it comes to injuries and condensed schedule and what could be a long haul for clubs?
Yeah, everybody that's talking about, oh, this cup isn't the same as all the other cups, this cup's going to be harder to win, trust me. And the people that are saying, well, no, there's going to be an asterisk, they're not going every day to the rink, not getting COVID tested every single day, not living in a bubble every single day. This is going to be the hardest Stanley Cup for anybody to win, ever. I'm telling you right now. This is a way different way of living. And the people that are saying, no, there's going to be an asterisk, they're not the people living in the bubble going through this every single day. I have so much respect for these players. First of all, I told you guys this yesterday, and I mean this sincerely. The league has done an amazing job. The healthcare professionals have done an amazing job. Volunteer level people have done an amazing job. This is an amazing experience. I'm just telling you. But this will be the hardest Stanley Cup ever to win.
Yeah.
This will be.
I'll be the first person to say when hockey games are boring. For the most part, I'm watch every single second of every game. Yeah. But the hockey's been fantastic through the first 4 days. I got to say, it is. These guys are going all out right now. Even if there is no atmosphere in the rink, the presentation coming through my television screen has been outstanding.
Well, JR, good for you for saying that. I will tell you this. I have so much respect for the players that are competing in this and the officials that are working this. This is not your run-of-the-mill every day to show up at the rink and play. There's a big effort that goes into getting to the rink in order to play. And I hope that TV networks are able to do a show to show exactly what's going on every single day, because this is way different than anything everybody knows. But I love the way the players are sacrificing. I love the way the players are competing. And again, the respect level that I have anyways for these young men in particular is phenomenal.
When you say the players are getting tested every day, are they getting like a nasal swab? Is it a saliva test? Is it just a temperature check?
No, good question. So everybody gets a temperature check every single day. You can't get into the pod. You can't get into the tunnel chain unless your temperature is a certain level. You can't leave your hotel lobby. You have to have it on your screen, on your iPhone. Their thermometer gauge is all over. It's from a company called Clear. So I'm part of that system, too. Everybody that lives in the pod lives through that. So you can't leave your hotel until you show a security guard that you are temperature-free, number one. Number two, you get to the arena, and in order to get into the event area, you have to get either a nasal swab or a throat swab. There's no saliva swab. This one.
Right.
So you're either getting something probed into your nasal cavity or probed down your throat every single day. I've been doing it now for 12 or 14 days, I think it is, or 12 days, I forget now. But whatever, that's what everybody's doing that's in the pod system here.
And how soon do you get your results back?
You can't get into the rink the next day unless you're clean.
Right.
So there have been zero positive tests so far.
Pierre, watching the Leafs last night, how impressed with them? And going into this, I know they work hard. Did we look past the fact that the Columbus Blue Jackets in the regular season really couldn't score goals, and this is going to be a major problem for them right now?
I don't know about that. They play a certain way. They play a certain style. I know John wasn't happy with their game last night. I watched the whole game probably like you did, John. Coach Tortorella was very, very upset. I didn't think they played the same game as they did in game one. They don't have a lot of pure scores, but I look at, you know, Oliver Bjorkstrand. Here's a guy that, you know, was a 50-plus goal scorer with the Portland Winterhawks. His time in major junior hockey, he was a tremendous international player. So you look at, they've got guys that have the ability. Pierre-Luc Dubois is another guy that can score, and that's one of the reasons why he was drafted third overall. But they're not, are they the best offensive team in the league? No. A lot of their offense comes from their defense. Zach Werenski, Seth Jones, David Savard. But they're going to have to find a way to be better offensively than what they were last night. They didn't compete at the same level last night as they did in Game 1, and Toronto deserves credit for that. Toronto played much better in Game 2 than they did in Game 1.
Yeah, and to that, Pierre, I'll use Dubois as an example. 49 points in the regular season, 71 games is actually their leading point getter. Can you ask somebody like that to go head-to-head with Austin Matthews the entire night and have expectations that he's actually going to create anything?
No, that's a hard ask. It's a big ask, especially for a young player. But there are two guys who were drafted in the same draft. So they're basically in their own peer group. One of the things that I think that's happened for Columbus in particular is they relied more on defense matchups and offensive matchups. I wouldn't be surprised to see John change out of some of the matchups that he's helped create at the forward position. But again, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. This is going to be more of a chess match kind of a series, I think. Even though Toronto's got more of the offensive skill, I think the grinding, the grit skill is probably leaning towards Columbus. The coaching experience is probably leaning a bit towards Columbus. So there's going to be some things that happen before game number three is played that are going to be, I think, is going to be very, very interesting to watch.
Jake Muzzin was stretchered off. The word from the hospital where he was taken was that he was alert and had feelings in extremity. So that's positive, and we'll get an update this morning. Pierre, yeah, though, if he is out either due to a physical injury or because he has to go into quarantine because he went outside the bubble, and misses one or more games, what impact would that have on the Leafs' blue line?
Pretty significant. I mean, you know, Jake's obviously probably their most physical defender. PP's most of their matchup situation on the back end. So I think it would have a pretty significant effect on the Toronto Maple Leafs. But JR, when I was watching and I saw that whole play happen, that was just an unfortunate. There was nothing malicious, nothing dirty, just so everybody understands. That was just really, really a tough situation. He looked like he was moving, which was really good. His hands and his feet and his extremities, which is obviously very positive. I think there was a lot of precautionary work going on, which is the trainer's opportunity to be very professional. I thought the trainers were very, very professional in that situation.
Pierre, if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, from a competitive standpoint, are you lobbying the National Hockey League to make sure that he is not able to play for 4 days and can't play Thursday, Friday?
I'm sure behind the scenes there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. As you know, you've been through the process. I did the Vancouver-Minnesota game very late last night, and I showed tape of what happened to Elias Pettersson from game one and how he was physically, beat down. And I showed that. And in Minnesota, took a penalty right away, Jordan Greenway, for coming up high on him. And I said right on the broadcast, I said, this is an example of lobbying. If that's any other player, on Minnesota, probably not going to happen. But because it's their biggest guy, Jordan Greenway, he's going to get a penalty. Because I'm sure Vancouver lobbied and showed the tape to the league saying, look at what they're doing to this guy. I mean, this isn't fair. This isn't right. So, as you know, Sean, for the listeners, lobbying happens all the time between games in a playoff series.
Calgary beat Winnipeg 6-2 in the game in the bubble before your game. This appears to be, Pierre, on the surface, a very Jekyll and Hyde series. Do you have any concept of where we're going with Game 4 and potentially Game 5?
I do. I just think the physical attrition has been so large for Winnipeg. I think it'd be very, very difficult for them to win, a game four, but we'll see. The fact that 2 and 3 were back-to-back was very, very difficult for Winnipeg. The fact that they were able to win game two without Mark Scheifele was huge for them. Obviously, Patrick Laine is another important player for them. But the atrophy that's going on with Winnipeg's roster is just overwhelming. I mean, they lost players again yesterday. Matthew Perreault, I don't think, will be able to play again. Tucker Pullman getting hit right in the face with a slap shot up close. And the fact that kid came back and played is just phenomenal, just overwhelmingly phenomenal. So the attrition rate for Winnipeg has been huge. And behind the play, you don't see this on TV, but I'm in the rink watching. Their guys are dragging, getting off the ice. They're running out of gas. They're running out of fumes right now. So I'd be shocked if Winnipeg were able to win game four.
For the Rangers, disappointment in the Kreiders, maybe Panarin, Zibanejad, that they lost, or should we just give full marks to Carolina being a superior hockey club?
Yeah, I'm not going to go negative on the Rangers because I think they're set up to be so darn good. I just think Carolina was much better, and I think last year's playoff experience for Carolina helped them a lot, especially beating Washington the way they did last year. I did that series, and the way they won on the road in Washington was just phenomenal in a closeout game. But I would never disrespect what Carolina was able to do. And Sebastian Aho is just such a darn good player. He's such a good player. And you look at what they did with their additions on defense, Joel Edmondson, Sammy Vatanen, those guys really stepped up. And I just think that they're a way undervalued team, and he's a tremendous coach. Rod Brindamore, just an outstanding coach.
I'm awarding Sebastian Aho the Pierre McGuire Trophy as the most valuable player of the play-in series. It'll be the only time it's ever awarded. what games do you have today?
I go watch them all, but I have the late game tonight, so Chicago and Edmonton.
Right.
But I'll be at the rink starting bright and early. Well, not for you. It'll be later for you, but I'll be there bright and early. I'll be there.
All right. Enjoy the games as always. Always appreciate the insight, and look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Jared. Thanks a lot, Sean. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
With you, Anson Carter, former NHLer, now doing a great job as an analyst for the NHL on NBC, will join us just after 9 o'clock this morning. But his thoughts on what he has seen so far, a big concentration, of course, on the American matchups from NBC's point of view, including what we wrapped up with Pierre with right there, Carolina knocking out the Rangers. First team eliminated is the New York Rangers. Second team could come as early as today, as the New York Islanders came back to beat Florida yesterday 4-2. So they're up 2 games to none. Game 3 goes at noon today. anything you've seen, if you've watched any of the series, Simmer, that leads you to think that the Panthers can at least win a game here?
No, I think they could end up winning the game, just don't have much faith in kind of the overall. And when you watch Bobrovsky, he's gone now, JR, to kind of oversized pads, but he's playing so tiny in the net, and he's quite simply getting beat by shots that are going right through him. And big picture, when you see a guy like this that survived on being just okay size, that survived on athleticism, and it looks like a little of that has deteriorated this year, that's got to scare you with another 6 years left. I mean, hey, a smallish goaltender making $10 million to losing some athleticism.
Oh my God.
You know, anything that he's doing in the past that you'd be like, wow, it's fun to watch. You know, almost kind of a poor man's Dominic Hasek. Now he's just overplaying everything.
Can anybody explain to me why you would draft a goalie, a very highly rated goalie, 11th overall, and then 10 days later you would assign a guy to a 7-year, $70 million contract to be your goalie?
Yeah.
At what level does that make any sense whatsoever?
Well, from what I understand, what happened is that Dale Tallon, Joel Quenneville, everybody's there, and then Bobrovsky walked in, and Dale said, "Where's Panarin?"
we got the bread man.
He got off the plane in New York. I thought you guys were coming together. What the hell is going on? You know, you get sucked into it, right? And Dale thought, kind of pulling a fast one, you're going to bring him down, and he thought maybe Panarin, but regardless, you're right. And you go through some of the teams now, and you look at the goaltending. Hey, Carey Price, would I have done that if I'm Montreal? No, but I understand that when you've got a guy that comes through that is, you know, one of the top goaltenders, the face of your franchise, why do you extend his contract, give him the money you did? Okay, I understand, but in the case of this one, to see where that was trending, when I keep hearing that guys are slow starters, I don't need anybody that's making $10 million to be a slow starter. And for this year, what he's presented, he's just not good enough. And for a team that overall defensively, I don't think has enough and is kind of bought in, well, you're not going any far. And I just don't look at that franchise right now. And also rumors that the ownership might start cutting some money.
Right.
Well, you're not cutting him. So now you're going to cut away more and put even more pressure on him. It ain't going to work.
Now, any thought at all, and we've often seen guys that sign huge contracts in new places, that first year is a real struggle, whether it's pressure internally, pressure externally, as far as the team goes, that often that second year we see a bit of a bounce back.
Yeah.
Potentially, do you think we might see that from the Bob next year?
No, potentially. From what I understand, the work ethic is very good. He's a proud guy. What also happens, JR, is you let off the gas a little bit. I think it's human nature. First of all, this guy's worked his ass off to become an NHL goaltender. Now you've set yourself up financially for the rest of your life. So how do you handle it? How does your family handle it? No, I think there can be a bit of a pushback for sure.
Yeah. So, Florida will, they're now in the, potentially, we should. They have to lose first. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah,
but I'm feeling very confident in the fact that the Florida Panthers are going to lose this series. I predicted off the start the Islanders in four. It may end up being three. I'm not sure that Florida has a win in them. I would not be surprised if the Islanders win and sweep the series today. They're just so tough to get through. And it's the old will versus skill, right?
Yeah,
and
certainly
the Islanders have all the will in the world. They got a little bit of skill. How about that? We got a number of texts this morning from people going, how about that little move from Pageau where there's the dust up and Brian Boyle, Pageau.
Yeah.
Pageau gives him the old fake punch. That was outstanding.
No, it was. And when I watch the Islanders, and this is also kind of internal expectations, I don't know how much pride is really in that Florida organization, but Islanders in comparison to Columbus, two teams that are very well coach, two teams that play hard, you've got the goaltending, you've got some other things, but at the end of the day, you still have with the New York Islanders, at least with Barzal and, you know, some of the other players are able to put out, where I can understand, but I'm going through the Columbus roster, and if Dubois is going to have to check Austin Matthews, well, that neutralizes him. There's just no other real speed or natural skill there, so that's at least for the Islanders, and for Florida, like I say, I'm not feeling it at all.
Yeah, if the Islanders do win and go on to win, and the Leafs go on to win, and Pittsburgh goes on to win, that we probably expect that to happen. Although I still think Columbus has a fighter's chance. I think Toronto was way better, and if they play like they did in Game 2, there's no way they're losing this series.
Yeah.
But if they do win, joining Carolina, I know you have the Islanders as the fourth of those four teams that will advance, a fourth seed of those. That is going to set up some really, really good first-round Eastern Conference matchups. You have said you think that 7 of the top 10 teams in the NHL overall are in the East. So as a wise man once said, somebody's going home early who thought they were going home late. Yeah. There are going to be some good teams going home after round one of the playoffs.
Yeah, and more importantly, and we had Monty on yesterday talking about that, is that not that, hey, if you're St. Louis or Vegas or Colorado, you can let off, or even Dallas. But I do look at some of the matchups, and if I had to face Calgary in the next round or a winner of Vancouver, Minnesota, I should end up winning those. When I look at what happened in the East right now, well, if I've watched Carolina on TV, they scare the bejesus out of me. They've also come up through a series quickly and played real games. Now I'm looking at Toronto, at least from game two. Then I look, of course, it's Pittsburgh. No, I think these are some heavyweight matchups. And as far as the U.S. networks, you've lost the Rangers. You probably will lose Chicago. You don't have any California teams. But the fact that the Eastern base portion can present a Washington, Pittsburgh, you've got Philly. Philadelphia, Boston. Oh, yeah. This has got to set up for them. And they're just absolutely going to love these matchups. Yeah. And draft lottery related, just as it sits today, my expectation are, I'd say there's a pretty good chance the only two Canadian teams that will be after Lafreniere will end up being Montreal and Winnipeg. I feel right now, just as we sit this morning, that Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary, obviously, and Toronto are going to move on to the next round.
Right. We'll see if the fix is in on Lafreniere. I know I went early with the Montreal. Now I'm thinking marquee player in New York with the Rangers, up-and-coming team. Right there, Madison Avenue, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, doesn't matter where he goes. Yeah. I'm just going with fixes in. Yeah. Cold balls theory, fixes in. He's going somewhere where the NHL wants him to go.
This is a bit complicated. Yeah, as if what I've already told you hasn't been.
Well, and even to that, when you see the Bettman children with the Lafreniere jerseys on, they've got the net set up that's never been used. They don't even know what it is.
Well, he's living with them.
Exactly.
He's actually living in Gary Bettman's basement.
That's my point. Like that's all set up where he's going to deliver. You've had JD go over. Of course, he's not going to end up Columbus, meaning John Davidson. The Dolan band will be playing at the summer party to welcome him to the Rangers.
Topsiders, pressed shorts with pleats, and the sweater tied in front. Right there on Long Island. Exactly. I can see it all play itself out
absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely.
Dinner in the Hamptons at Gare's house.
Yeah.
It's happening 100%.
Probably Henrik Lundqvist pick him up at the airport. Hey.
Hank will become a new Uber driver for New York Rangers prospects.
Exactly.
All right. So six more games today. Islanders-Panthers kick it off. The series nobody cares about except maybe fans of former members of the Sens. The Nashville Predators, Arizona Coyotes. I gotta be honest, I haven't watched a second of either of the two games in that series so far. But Ryan Johansson, your favorite, got a goal and an assist yesterday. And Nashville's win, so that series is 1-1 now.
Yeah, no, and it is. Because I think I did this the World Junior. I really chatted up the Finnish goaltender. Then he got torched by Canada. Just as I was on Darcy Kemper being the most underrated goaltender, he had a stinker yesterday. So that's par for the course when you make predictions.
There you go. Then we got two of those play round robin series games where I'm not sure whether the teams really care. But Tampa, Boston, and Colorado, Dallas, those are the middle of the day games. And then your nightcaps are Montreal, Pittsburgh at 8. And then the late game tonight is the Hawks and the Edmonton Oilers, 8 and 10:30 respectively. And we'll join that Montreal, Pittsburgh game in progress after the Blackjacks game at 10:30. So the always pivotal, I think the stat was rolled out yesterday, all time in best of fives. Mm-hmm. Which we haven't had since the mid-80s, so I'm not sure how much the statistic means, but all-time in best of fives, the team that wins Game 3 when the series is 1-1, the team that wins Game 3 goes on to win 75% of the time.
Yeah,
so,
must be similar to a Game 5 in a best of 7. And also, I know AJ has pointed out, and we went with 82%. Now here we're going to end up with probably a couple of sweeps, both the Islanders and Carolina. The only thing I look at a little bit different from the AJR is that when you had the format, and even back to the 1 through 16, the teams to me are a lot closer now, right? Where I don't really feel like, well, probably there's most of them can't. I think the rest of these series are probably going to go at least four and probably see multiple series go the distance of five games on the weekend.
Well, to wrap up our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question, we asked you yesterday, how many of the series are going to go the full five games? We gave you the options of 0, 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 5 to 6, or 7 and 8. And the vast majority of you went with the 3 to 4. Just 10% went with the 5 to 6, so that's what Bunda picked, and that's what you're suggesting may happen at the end of the day. We may have as many as 5 to 6 of these 8 series that will go the full 5 games.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know 7-8 could be out the window as soon as 2:30 this afternoon if the Islanders knock out the Panthers, and 0% of you think that none of them will go the full 5%.
Yeah, and amazing, eh? Short series, you get a couple of games in, 1-1. I mean, you're looking at tomorrow night, there's Toronto feeling great. If they ever drop that Thursday game, you're talking about elimination on Friday. For Montreal, well, okay, if you could hang around and carry Price, somehow you squeak one out tonight. You got the Pittsburgh Penguins going into a close to a weekend here of elimination. So, no, it's going to come fast and furious. And to get people back interested in the sport itself, I just don't think this could set up any better. Condensed schedule, 1 week, get everybody in, and eight are moving on, and eight are going to be going home by Sunday.
Some breaking news from Hockey News from Finland this morning. Jesse Puljujärvi has signed a one-year extension with Karpat Oulu of the Finnish league. Quote, "It's a good place to take the next steps in my career." So that comes about a week after some reports out of Finland that had suggested that he has reopened the door to potentially rejoining the Edmonton Oilers. Now, this would come, I'm guessing, Simmer, with an out.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
That when the NHL does get back to business for the next season, he would be eligible to leave the team and rejoin the Oilers or to a team that, that trades for his rights.
Yeah,
correct?
No, for sure. What was strange is that I believe in the next collective bargaining agreement, JR, if this was the following year, the fact he had played in Europe this year, you need waivers to come back, that rule would have been gone. He technically, if it was a year from now, could have come back and played in these playoffs. So I would look at that. We saw what Sider yesterday ended up being assigned by Detroit. Some teams are getting creative. If you're a European-based player, why would you not go and play with a club? And in the case of Puljujärvi, you know what? This could give him his best chance if he wants to come back to North America of play in Oulu, be up and running, and should training camp start in November or December, maybe he'd have an opportunity to take a run at a job in Edmonton.
So where does this leave our good friend Artie Party? Artem Anisimov will need to change the crankcase oil if he doesn't get if he doesn't land somewhere here soon.
No, that might be one of those ones. Yeah, that could be
he
quite
could be fully seized by the time November rolls around.
No, that might be a real difficult one there to try to get him going. Just to, some of the layoff for some of these guys, they let off the gas a little bit. And it was funny that Pierre brought up Bjorkstrand. He was a player that Muzzin ran into. He has been just god-awful. And I'm not sitting there scouting every player, but I've watched his coverage, and I kind of looking at him thinking, what the hell is this guy doing during the break? Because he has been, actually, I think, one of Columbus's worst players.
Well, I would and don't know. I haven't watched him as closely as you have, but if there's one coach who I would think would not care what you did for me during the so-called regular season, if you didn't come back in shape or ready to play, I don't think Torts would have any hesitation putting you in the press box.
Yeah, and you know what you also love is that and I'll say for John Tortorella, if I had lost a close game two, I roll into games three and four, which is fast and furious Thursday, Friday. The fact that you can unleash on the team, that's exactly what John Tortorella wants. You know that Columbus is going to come back and play a harder, better hockey game. I'd make some changes. I just really question because pulling up their stats, like I said, in the regular season, they played great. But again, Dubois, 49 points in 71 games. You go through the roster there. I mean, you lose Panarin, you lose Deshane, DeZingel, Josh Anderson from a year ago. Like they have just, there's just not much there at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think that Korpisalo is playing well enough that he could steal this series.
Oh, I agree.
If Toronto plays this like yesterday, no chance. Then they're going to win the series. But after game one, we looked at what Columbus did, and Columbus, Toronto was better in the loss in game one than Columbus was yesterday. But I look at it more from the winning team's point of view.
Yeah.
I look at if Columbus can play like they did in game one, I still think they can come back and win the series. Now, can they do that? That's the point. But Korpisalo right now has played well enough in the two games that he could, in my opinion, absolutely steal the series.
Yeah. And the nice part, though, I will say from the Leafs side, other than the stinker that he let in game one, this may be the best that Freddie Anderson's ever looked. So I also say that hey, I'm actually, and these tight games, and again, game one, not good. Any opportunities that they had yesterday, meaning Columbus Blue Jackets, he locked her down. So that's what I also like from the Leafs side is that, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I feel like in a close game that Anderson's going to be right there with him, save for save.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll find out. By the way, Game 3 in the Toronto-Columbus series is now scheduled for 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Game 3 will be 8 o'clock tomorrow. Game 4 will go on Friday at some point. And again, we're waiting to hear an update, I'm sure at some point this morning, on Jake Muzzin, who was taken to hospital last night. We don't even know whether he stayed in the hospital, but all indications were feeling in all the extremities, alert. So all positive signs there. So a couple of things from a physical point of view. Is he going to be good enough to return perhaps as soon as tomorrow. And then, again, revisiting those rules that the NHL has in place, the health and safety protocols. If you leave the bubble, you are supposed to, when you come back, quarantine for 4 days, which would mean that he would be out for games 3 and 4. Then the talk was later on in the night, last night, that the NHL may potentially tweak that I guess what would be known would be I'll call it a special case, and perhaps allow him to come back. That's if he's physically able to.
Yeah, and even as you're introduced back into it, JR, I'd just be so curious as to how you do this. Like, when you bring him back, is he going back into the room that he's staying in? Do you clear the hallways and everybody, and do you have him in a big bubble and put him up to his room? Is there a separate room that he ends up sitting? You know what I mean? Like that. Just kind of introducing and just saying, hey, walk back in and go to your hotel. Well, you don't want him around anybody as he's going back to quarantine as well.
Yeah. Just the way that Pierre McGuire described life in the bubble. And again, as a broadcaster, he's essentially doing the same things that the players are, but they have, it just sounds like the health and safety protocols they put in place are, but there are, this is why I'd be hard pressed to think there's going to be an exception in the case of Muzzin.
Yeah.
When, it's like every day you get a temperature checked every day.
Yeah.
And every day you're either getting a nasal swab or a throat swab, every single day. So now you've got a guy who's gone outside the bubble. Yeah. The rules were, you've gone outside the bubble, you got to quarantine for 4 days. Are they going to make an exception in this case?
Yeah, and I even keep thinking of the nasal swab and anybody that has to do that with Brad Marchand. Do you use a broomstick?
Come on.
I've been sitting on that one for a while.
Come on.
I've been sitting on that one for about a week, so I had to bring that.
Would either of you guys have an issue, though, if they let them play the game, the exception? Maybe they have their own, hospital wing that they put whatever it is.
I'm surprised that if that were the case, Bunda, because I think it's a good point, if that were the case, they would have pointed that out already. Oh, by the way, if a guy does have to leave to be taken to hospital because of an injury, we've set aside this certain section of the hospital where you'll allow. If that was the case, I would have thought they would have spelled that out already.
Yeah, and well, first of all, if it's a public hospital, there's not a chance that anybody's going to let that happen. Now, private-wise...
there are no private hospitals in Canada, right?
So. Yeah. Is it Mount Sinai? Is that a private hospital?
No. There's no private hospitals.
I don't think anybody's going to be leaving a wing of a hospital open for the National Hockey League right now.
Yeah, I think the only chance the Leafs would have had if Lou Lamoriello was still the GM there, right?
Because runs the NHL, as we all know. All right, more hockey talk coming up with Anson Carter shortly after 9. It's 8:51 as we continue along right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. From the NHL on NBC. Baseball, Blue Jays got back at it after the 5-day layoff last night in Atlanta and looked like a bit of a rusty team. Fell 10-1 to the Braves, so they are now 3-5. They'll play again today. The Miami Marlins, speaking of rusty teams, no rust on that team because they played their first game in over a week and shut out the Baltimore Orioles 4-0. Right now, the Marlins have 18 players on their injured list, most of which, of course, have tested positive for COVID. They've been picking up players left, right, and center. Guys that got waived, guys who are the 14th pitchers on major league staffs that are being traded for players to be named later, etc. But for Miami, by the way, 3-1, they're leading the division winning percentage-wise.
Well, at the end of the day, take your best 30 players away, and then you're comparable to the Orioles and the AAA team they put out on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no difference right there. That is one of the worst-run sports franchises in North America are the Orioles.
Yeah. The St. Louis Cardinals have announced they have had a full day with a negative test that they should be returning to play on Friday for their series with the Cubs. They haven't played since last Thursday as well, after 13 players and staff members, 7 players, 6 staff members tested positive as well. At this point, Simmer, we're essentially, I think 2 weeks tomorrow will be the amount of time we've had with Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Are you any more confident, less confident, about the same, that they're going to be able to pull this off?
No, I'm less confident, which couldn't go much lower. And I just wonder, for a lot of the athletes, JR, you just start losing some of your enthusiasm, right? Another break, another schedule, can't play, a few more days off. I think this will get old in a hurry. And also, and I'll just say from the Toronto market, you'd have to go individually, when the Raptors finish up their regular season, hit to the playoffs. I think the Leafs will beat the Blue Jackets. They'll move on to the next round against Tampa Bay, probably. Level of interest in the Toronto area and trying to even watch this or tune in. Going to be going up against the big boys.
Yeah. Well, and throw Nate Pearson every game.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or, you know, and the young players, I guess. But I just think overall in the United States, once the NBA playoffs hit, the competition you're having, yeah, and every market, even NFL training camps, if they're up and running, just a lot of people I just don't think are going to be that interested to tune in.
Yeah, and for the Blue Jays, I mean, the team itself, the players themselves, they aren't going to get to Buffalo. They aren't scheduled to play there until August the 11th, which is, what, mid-next week?
Yeah.
So next Tuesday. So they will have spent at this point, since they got kicked out of Toronto, right? What, three straight weeks on the road?
Yeah.
Or thereabouts? That's going to get... And then you're returning to your, quote, home city, which isn't really your home city. At least it's a place you can unpack your bags when you're going to be in the local... I'm assuming the local hotel for the entirety of your... for the rest of this Major League Baseball season. But talk about a traveling road show for the Blue Jays.
And talk about being on a three-week road trip and how excited you are to land in Buffalo. Like, if the whole crew on the charter is...
Fresh wings.
Just ready,
fresh wings.
Ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, speaking of wearing off very quickly.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see on that. But again, Blue Jays lose 10-1 in Atlanta last night. As we mentioned, they'll play again today. All right, we'll take a break. 8:57. When we come back, the NHL and NBC's Anson Carter.